Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dan Devine, he writes for Yahoo Sports, writes about the NBA. I've tweeted out his recent column on Jalen Brunson. You can read it over there at Yahoo. The podcast is No Cap Room, and it is essential. Again, on Twitter or X at Your Man Devine. Dan, I before I start with the NBA, I was following along last week with your social media feed.
And
one of your co-hosts said that if he could take, that eating is the most overrated thing in the world. And if he could simply take a pill and get everything that he needed for the day, he would do that. Because eating is a total waste of time. And you have to do it again every day. And it was one of the most absurd takes I've ever heard. And I wondered how you retained your, you know, remained composed.
Well, okay, so a couple things about this. One is, for the purposes of clarity, a former colleague of mine, Benjamin Solak at The Ringer, does great NFL work for TheRinger.com. This is as part of a podcast they do, they call the Take Purge.
The
similar idea of like the movies, The Purge, for one day all is legal, all is permitted, and you cannot face any repercussions from it. So this is where you get your takes off about the NFL and other things. He decided to get off the take that food, like eating is too much. It's too much of a hassle. And it's boring. It's bad. You can't, you just have to keep doing it. And I weep for the future. I mean, Ben is like, I think 11 years old. Like, I weep for the future. I weep for the way we understand how our time on this earth is intended to be spent. Somebody responded to it by saying it's a waste of time. I'm like, what is our time intended to be if not to enjoy sensory experiences like eating delicious food? I have some concerns about it, but it was in the context of this take first, so I have to just sort of acknowledge it happened.
Okay.
Be furious, but then let it pass.
Okay, that's fine. Suns can take the same approach to the series. Absolute debacle. By the way, I saw also on your timeline, this is the first sweep ever by a Minnesota team in a 7-game series of anything. This is
mind blowing.
And this was a mind blowing series. I guess Anthony Edwards is the headliner here.
Oh, 1,000%. But also, is in the spirit of being of a radical honesty here, I picked the Suns before this series. I thought that the Suns were a bad matchup for the Wolves because of the collective shooting that they had, the way that those regular season matchups had gone. It seemed like they had a good game plan defensively on Anthony Edwards in terms of the aggressive help they showed on him that forced other Wolves to make shots, and then you were putting your fate in the hands of, you know, Karl Anthony Towns to some degree and Naz Reid, but then also, you know, is Kyle Anderson going to be able to do that? Is Nikhil Alexander Walker going to be able to do that? How much of you are you going to get from Mike Conley if you're able to put more size on him at the point of attack, et cetera, et cetera? And the answer to that was, yup, All those guys are going to do that. Every single person that so every one of them is going to make every play they need to make the entirety of the game. And also on the other end, all of Phoenix's fancy get in their bag step backs kind of got swallowed up whole by an absolutely voracious defense that was huge everywhere. And there, once you got past the point of they're not going to, and they weren't going to take more threes. Like, the Suns are a mid-range team. They were not going to jack up the variance and jack up the three-point shooting. Another wild stat that I heard this morning was Anthony Edwards took more three-pointers last night than Kevin Durant took in the series.
That's insanity.
I mean, it's just, there was, one team was, like, optimized to understand how they needed to win, and one team was not. And whether that fall, I mean, you certainly get the feeling that that's going to fall on Frank Vogel, much as last year fell on Monty Williams. At a certain point, you wonder if the, you're sort of treating symptoms rather than disease. I don't know, but the Wolves were sensational. Anthony Edwards obviously finishes off with a flourished 40 points in that absolutely dramatic dagger dunk, and then swatting Booker at the rim with 5 seconds left. But the thing that makes you, I think, most encouraged about Anthony Edwards here is when the Suns were defending him in those ways, where they were loading up on him and saying, we're going to throw three at you and make you trust the pass, he did. He seems to exude that level of confidence in those teammates, even when those guys are breaking shots. Jalen McDaniels could not throw the ball in the ocean against Phoenix during the regular season. He kept the faith in him, kept trusting in him, kept feeding them the ball, and those guys all responded. So Anthony Edwards cements himself in this series as not just, one of the most exciting young players in the league, but a leader that these guys will follow. And, they are healthy, they are huge, they are deep, and they are on to round two.
Is the biggest story here the T-Wolves or the Suns?
Well, are you a glass half full or glass half empty person? I think the glass half full take is, a superstar is born and there is a wonderful basketball team to keep watching. The way that we typically consume the sports, or the way the coverage is typically presented, is look at that train wreck over there and everything's on fire. And I mean, the Suns deserve that, right? Like, this is the speed. I mean, everything feels like it both happened 5 seconds ago and 500 years ago. That's just sort of the nature of an accelerated culture, I guess. But this is a team that was up 2-0 in the finals in 2021. That was 3 years ago. And since that time, the ownership has changed, but also they traded, I think three-fifths of that starting lineup. Four-fifths of that starting lineup. The only guy left is Booker. And all of the draft capital that's not nailed down to become a team that gets swept in the first round. And they are wildly over-leveraged. It is at least a little bit funny that the team owned by the great big mortgage guy is more leveraged and mortgaged than any team in the NBA. They are, you are now at a place where, what are your avenues out of this if you're the Phoenix Suns? Trade Kevin Durant, trade Devin Booker, find somebody, get Bradley Beal to waive the no-trade clause that he still has, and then find somebody willing to give you cents on the dollar for him to create some financial flexibility. It's a mess, and it's a mess of their own making, and we are very, very, very far away from all the good vibes that attended that finals team just 3 years ago.
And Frank Vogel just signed last year a 5-year, $31 million deal. So I guess it can fall on Frank Vogel.
I think Frank Vogel is in that interesting spot where it's like he is both furious and disappointed at how this all befell him, and also if it goes away tomorrow, he's going to have a pretty good life for a couple years.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely astonishing. Is the Bradley Beal one the tipping point? I mean, maybe KD, like the whole thing, maybe the entire enterprise, but Bradley Beal has been a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the wild thing is Beal's inability to stay on the court this season, and there was, I mean, these are, it wasn't, bumps and bruises and somebody being too soft to play or whatever. Like, he had injuries, and a back and hamstrings, like Siri, like stuff that is tricky and that lingers. He played, I think, 53 games, and that's still the most games he's played in like 3 years. So that's the thing. That was always the big concern. If you don't get these guys on the floor enough, if you don't get them to develop chemistry enough, if you don't get to figure out what the offensive system needs to be and who needs to take a back seat and yada, 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 are you going to have answers when the toughest questions are asked of you in the playoffs? And the answer just wound up being no. But I think the most glaring thing, and the thing that Bradley Beal is going to have to wear all summer, and maybe a heck of a lot longer than that, is after I think he put up some garbage time numbers in game three to kind of make his stat line look pretty good. And then afterward, he's like, I've never been swept a day in my life. Not going to start now. And then Booker and Durant show up. I think they combined for 82 points or something like that yesterday. And then Bradley Beal turns in maybe the worst game I've ever seen Bradley Beal play. The kind of game where you're like, well, he was just still in Washington. Maybe the Suns win this game. And fouls out, six turnovers, a bunch of them in the fourth quarter. Like, this is going to hang around his neck to the extent that people even think about him, right? When they think about him, though, they're going to think about this. And barring a dramatic change in, where he comes through in major situations for Phoenix or for wherever else he winds up playing, this was a real desultory note for this all to end on in the season.
You have a column up about Jalen Brunson. He was held under wraps in the first two games, and then the wraps came off. He certainly figured it out in game three. What was the magic, and what was that like?
Well, I think some of it is, I mean, it's funny because Jalen Brunson is one of the, like, least quotable players in recent NBA history. Like, it's one of the reasons that every coach loves him is that he gives you basically nothing, unless he's up there cracking jokes with Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo.
Right.
Every question is like, I've got to be better. I've got to be myself. I've got to take it slow. All credit to them. They deserve a lot of credit. Everybody gets credit except for Jalen Brunson. But a lot of it was, he was like, I have been a, like, tough shot maker all season, and that he wasn't making the tough shots that he was getting. They weren't getting a lot of easy ones in the first two games, and so some of that was they started to set some more ball screens for him up in half court, which gets the bigs who are guarding their New York centers, largely Joel Embiid, gets them further out on the floor, gives him more of a runway, and so he can either get all the way to the rim if he can scoot past the center, or if the center's back in a deep drop coverage, he can get to his mid-range game and have, like, a little more comfort there in terms of more space to get his shot off. He has been attacking Joel Embiid in the pick and roll a lot more the last couple of games as Embiid has continued to hobble around with that knee injury. He says, all right, come on out, big guy, we're going to dance, and I'm going to see if you want to stay out here, I'm going to go around you. If you want to hang back, I feel like I'm going to be able to get some space to get to my jumper, to get to my floater, and he just kept dropping those shots in. But then there's also just a lot of times where the last couple of games he gets to those tough shots where there's guys in his face, there's guys draped all over him, Embiid is out there with his arm 10 feet up in the air, and he's just been able to find the touch because it get up over the top of him, drop in those floaters, in part because he's got the rhythm going earlier. I think that's it. He had some real struggles in the first quarter, the first couple of games, has gotten going pretty quickly these last two. And then the Knicks with their, the offensive rebounding, which has been, their bellwether for the last couple of years, that was back-breaking stuff against Philly in game one and again in game four. And now the Knicks are up 3-1, heading back to Madison Square Garden with a chance to close it out, and Brunson's breakout is one of the biggest reasons why.
Dan, thank you very much. The piece is up. You can read it. I've tweeted it out. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Dan Devine from Yahoo. Your man, Devine.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.